Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Thursday to you. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, lots to get done today. I've got two in-studio interviews. I've got a conversation with Eric Musselman, the head basketball coach at Nevada, coming up later on this hour. Let's get started. Phone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686. I would encourage you to follow me on Twitter, as always, at Jim Rome. And you know you can email me, too, at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Eric Musselman's coming up later on this hour. Top of hour number two in studio, a Tennessee Titans linebacker, Jayon Brown. In hour number three, Carolina Panthers quarterback, Kyle Allen, in studio. So I've got two NFLers in studio. I've got Eric Musselman coming up. We did an episode of the Jim Rome podcast with Ricky Williams yesterday. It's live right now. It's great. I want to reset that. So you've got your telephone number, and I'm looking for telephone calls right now. 1-800-636-8686. Tragic news this morning involving Jim Boeheim, which I will get to momentarily. I want to start with last night's game, though. Zion and Duke and North Carolina. I start there because I spent a lot of time leading into that game last night. I spent a lot of time on the program yesterday hyping up that game. And then you see it, and it all plays out. An MLB Hall of Famer, a potential Pro Football Hall of Famer, a legendary filmmaker, a famous actress, the guy or gal who paid 10 grand for a ticket. Heck, even a former president. It felt like everybody was at Cameron Indoor last night. Complete scene. But they were not the ones that people were there to see. Everybody was there to see an event, and they were there to see the greatest college basketball player since, I don't know, whoever you think is the greatest college player ever. Whoever you pick, and whatever you want to argue, Zion is probably that good. And they were there to see him play his school's biggest rival at home for the one and only time that was going to happen. And they didn't get to see it because less than 1 minute into the game, this happened.
This is against one of the best rebounding teams in the country in North Carolina.
Zion went down. Looked like he hyperextended his leg. He is down, slipped, perhaps some perspiration on the floor, and this place got quiet awfully quickly.
And he just slipped. His leg went out from underneath him. He grabbed the back of his leg. He's walking off under his own power. And, you know, you get to see a guy. You watch this guy, and you think he's Superman, and that he doesn't get injured.
Credit Raycom Sports Network. So what that was the knee injury / sneaker blowout heard around the world. I mean, that was pretty sickening. A blown sneaker. It's like driving the speed limit on an empty desert highway and suddenly one of your tires blows out for no reason at all and you impale your car and slam into a tree. I mean, how the hell does that happen? I mean, I know how it happens, and it's obviously really rare, but to have that happen in that moment to that guy on that stage is about the worst thing ever. Then again, if your immediate reaction was Nike's stock price is going to take a hit tomorrow morning, maybe you take a moment before you get all mad money on it. I mean, yeah, it's true. That was a terrible look for Nike. That was the exact reverse, in fact, of the Tiger Woods legendary chip at Augusta back in 05, where the swoosh sat on the lip of the cup for an eternity before it finally dropped in. But yeah, watching last night, my concern was not for a billion-dollar shoe company's stock price. It was for the young man in question. It was for Zion. It was for everybody who loves the game, because that whole thing looked terrible. It was just an awful look. It was a damn nightmare is what it was. I mean, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you root for. Seeing that just sucked. The biggest Duke hater in the world even has to look at that and admit, damn. I mean, who cares about the rest of the game after something like that? Yes, North Carolina won. Yes, they look good doing it. Yes, they handed number one Duke one of the worst home losses of Coach K's career. But can you even remember the final score? It was 88-72. Doesn't really matter. In fact, none of it really matters. And I'll be the first one to say that Duke is not a one-man team, that they've got at least two other guys who are likely top five picks. And even without Zion, they're so talented that they should not get blown out like that at home. But then again, You lose a potential National Player of the Year in the first minute of a rivalry game, and you lose him the way they did, it's going to have an impact on the next 39 minutes. But again, who cares about that? From the moment this guy went down, the rest of the game really did not matter. The score did not matter. Bragging rights did not matter. I mean, hell, the number one spot in the polls, an ACC title, maybe even a national title. None of it seemed to matter. What mattered was the diagnosis. The six letters that were being thrown around the most last night were MRI and NBA, as in, would this MRI impact his future in the NBA? Not the ACC race, not the NCAA tournament, but like this guy's career. And also, should he declare for the NBA before the MRI or after the MRI? Should he bother playing another game for Duke or should he shut it down right now? Depends on the injury. The early word is mild knee sprain, which if that's true, that's great. Then they dodge a major scud. I mean, it already sucked. Literally, it sucked. It sucked the life out of that game. It sucked the life out of that team. It damn near sucked the life out of life. That's how exciting Zion is right now. And to get a chance to see this guy play at home against UNC was going to be special until it wasn't. Then it was the ultimate buzzkill. And it doesn't mean that he's out of the woods yet. As Coach K said afterwards, quote, "We're very concerned about Zion. It's a mild knee sprain. We will know about length of time tomorrow," end quote. And again, that's about the only thing that matters right now. Shoe companies, national titles, a referendum on college athletics. I will get to all of that in a minute. But why don't we hold off? Because for a moment, it looked like we may have lost the best thing to happen to basketball in years. And that would have sucked. A 285-pound, hitting his head on the backboard, looking down at the rim, absurd shot-blocking phenom does not come around very often. No, strike that. They never come around. Think about all the highlights this guy has provided in only a handful of games. I mean, seriously, we're barely 3.5 months into his career, and he's already put out some of the greatest moments in college basketball history. So I don't know if he's the greatest player ever, but if that really is only a mild knee sprain, that's the biggest sigh of relief ever. And I've got a lot more to say about that. The way he went down, where that leaves Nike, how amateur Puma looked when they jumped in, and more. And the one thing a lot of you don't want to talk about that I brought up yesterday is we're talking about a whole lot of money being thrown down. And for a guy like that, and he's not getting any of it, and no, the scholarship does not equal him getting paid. Not when you consider the money that he's bringing in. And the irony of the whole thing, you want to talk poetic justice, or how poetic was it that a shoe that in, I don't know, a few months, he's going to get paid seven figures to wear, got him injured on a night when he didn't make any money wearing it. Pretty poetic. And again, how the hell does that happen? I mean, I know how it happened, but how'd that happen? I want to move on to Jim Boeheim now. Police say Syracuse basketball coach Jim Boeheim was driving a car that hit and killed a pedestrian on an interstate highway Wednesday night in Syracuse, New York. According to ESPN, Jorge Jimenez, 51, was outside a car on Interstate 690. The vehicle was involved in an unrelated accident. Jimenez was a passenger in that car, which struck the guardrail and came to a rest in the middle of the road. The occupants exited the vehicle and moved to the side of the road. Boeheim's car attempted to avoid the vehicle in the road and struck Jimenez after 11 p.m. Struck him. Police were then called to the scene. The report continues, field sobriety and alcohol sensor tests were performed on Boeheim and the driver of the other vehicle, and they came back negative. That according to a police statement. Police said speeds could not be determined, but the county DA, Bill Fitzpatrick, said that Boeheim was traveling at the proper speed for that highway. No traffic citations were issued. The investigation is active. It's ongoing, according to police. Boeheim is cooperating with the investigation. Details continue to come in, and we will continue to monitor this story. 1-800-636-8686. All right, still ahead this hour, Eric Musselman will be joining us. Jaylen Brown, Tennessee Titans linebacker, will be joining me in studio next hour. Kyle Allen, Carolina Panthers quarterback, joins us in studio in hour number three. All of that is still ahead. Clone's Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike, which brings the energy of live studio classes right into your home anytime you want, winter or summer, rain or shine. With the Peloton bike, it's always the perfect weather to get your sweat on. And with up to 14 live rides every single day and over 10,000 more on demand, nothing will get between you and your workout. Peloton features live cycling classes streaming to your home every day, featuring real-time motivation from world-class instructors. So whether it's a monthly challenge to meet your goals, a training program for your next race, or setting a new personal best, the Peloton bike will make you want to show up and keep climbing the live leaderboard year-round. On average, Peloton members are riding their bikes more and more every year and crushing their personal records along the way. You can learn more about the Peloton bike at onepeloton.com, onepeloton.com, or visit a local showroom. Do that or go to onepeloton.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Aside from that being a major buzzkill last night, less than 1 minute into that game, Zion Williamson goes down with a blown Nike kick. Got so many more thoughts on that, and here's some of your early reaction. Stephen Crowtown, quote, "I was hungry for Zion Williamson, hungry for Duke UNC. Hell, I'm just plain old hungry." Signed, Le'Veon Bell Grande. There is a report that Le'Veon Bell gained some weight. A significant amount of weight, if the report is true. I can't believe you clones are into that. I never would have thought that would have been something you'd be into. Somebody gaining weight. Your favorite brand. Hopefully, I'm not going to get an entire program of tweets and emails like that. Dear Jim, tell Zion to double wrap his shoe to prevent blowouts. It works for my burritos. Signed, Le'Veon Belch. Wore personal taco trucks. Unwore bags who steal the Tabasco bottles. Eric in Omaha. Like I said, hopefully I'm not going to get an entire program of tweets and emails like that. Hey, Rome, I know a lot of people are upset that Zion blew a tire last night, but we can assure you that his shoe performed exactly as designed. Signed, the dashboard on a AmeriCorps XR4 Ti. For some of you in the back or some of you who are new to the program, this is why my crew is called the XR4 Ti. I always wanted to have a crew. I always wanted to have a posse back in the day. So I have one. They're on the other side of the glass, and I had to think of a name for them. I called them the XR4 Ti. The XR4 Ti was the kind of car that I drove back in the day, a AmeriCorps XR4 Ti. It was the car that my parents gave me for college graduation. And they made the car for 2 years. It was a piece of crap. The car was amazing when I first got it. For 15,000 miles until the warranty was up, man, that thing was a dream. Look it up. Google it. AmeriCorps XR4 Ti. Man, turbocharged. Leather, sunroof. It was badass. Man, I love that thing. Again, until it hit 15001 on the odometer. And then every light on the dashboard turned on. They're all different colors. It was like freaking Christmas every single morning for me. And then I'd take that thing to the dealer and they'd laugh. I'm like, man, this car is a piece of crap. And they'd be like, oh yeah, here comes Rome. What up, Vance Mack? I'm like, what up? Not the blue book value on this car, I know that. Man, I'm upside down on this bitch. This car is a piece of crap. I'm here every other week. And they just laugh, man. The mechanics were like, chump, he's back. So let me ask you something. If you got a blue book lying around, why don't you open that thing up to XR4 Ti, 1986 XR4 Ti? What is this thing worth right now? I can tell you that, Rome. $3,500. Really? Because I owe 18 grand on it. That's what he's talking about. The dashboard on AmeriCorps XR4 Ti. So if you wonder why the crew is the XR4 Ti, I named them after that piece of crap. We had a family friend who owned a dealership, and he said to our family, hey, you know what? Literally, I can drive any car I want. I own a dealership. I choose to drive this car. Wow, really? Hey, Rome, due to the Zion injury, we now know zero active college basketball players and request your help in filling out our brackets next month. Thanks in advance, all of America. John in Huntington Beach wore Zion using his textbooks as firewood now. Firewood. And finally, hey, Jim, I heard that Zion blew a tire in the game last night. Any chance you could send me his contact info? I can help because I've got a pretty dependable spare tire of my own. Yours, Rosie O'Drumstick. Mike in Buffalo, helping him. Wore flat wings over drumsticks. Wore Jukebox Fridays. Hey, Mike, war, you never emailing me ever again. As always, do you want my content or should I just go through your content? I mean, I'd love to do no work at all and let you carry the program. Yeah, I'm talking to all of you. All right, so of course, a moment like Zion going down with a busted wheel is going to get some attention. Tweets were flying thick and fast. And some folks are going to want to have some of those tweets back, such as Carlos Boozer. Remember him? He tweeted, and I quote, "Get well soon at Zion NPS." I mean, that's cool, right? One Duke legend reaching out to another. Well, actually, that was one Duke legend reaching out to a national park. Because at Mr. C. Booz tweeted, "Get well soon" to at Zion NPS. Get well soon, Zion National Park. All right, so you want to clown him, right? What? Like there's something wrong with sending best wishes to a national park. Or like how this is the weirdest thing that Boozer has done since that time he appeared to take a can of Rust-Oleum to his bald spot. I mean, whatever. This is a very stressful time for everybody involved, and we all do weird things when things get heated. And if Boozer needed to reach out to a national park when he saw one of his Duke family members go down, he should be allowed to do so without you killing him for it. And now you're going to tell me that it's kind of weird that a guy who lived and worked in Utah for a number of years is tweeting at a national park in Utah. I say good for him. Good for him. I only wish that he'd included Arches and Canyonlands in that tweet as well. What, no love for Yosemite or Yellowstone booze? Come on. But you know what, as weird as that was nothing compared to a certain tweet by a certain shoe company. Because after Zion's Nike blew out and he went down, Puma jumped in and tried to give them the hands. Puma allegedly tweeted, "Wouldn't have happened in the Pumas." Now, I say allegedly because there's no way that really happened, right? There is no way that a shoe company Twitter account sees a transcendent player get injured in somebody else's shoes and jumps in with something like that, right? There is no way that somebody working at a shoe company sees a teenager in pain while wearing another company's shoe and then cracks his or her knuckles and says, "Yeah, baby, it's go time." I mean, I know we live in the trolliest times ever. But really? I mean, seriously, did somebody at Puma really tweet that and then turn around and say, "Yo, give me a high five. Give me some love for that. Awesome. Sick burn. Damn, Nike. How'd that taste? Man, we got over on those chumps. How you like us now?" Yeah, and obviously the tweet was later deleted. My question is why? The only thing worse than tweeting a moronic take like that is to pull it down. Because not only do you get the horrible look of tweeting it, but then you have to admit that you were horrible for tweeting it. Hey, Puma, if you're going to tweet that out, stand by it. If you want to be the troll company, be the troll company. If you want to be the bad guys, be the bad guys. Wear the black hat. Embrace it. Don't half-step it. Tweet out your awesome zinger and include a link to your website. Move merch. Capitalize on it. Maybe make some gear with a crumpled up Zion and a busted Nike. That's how you do it. But they didn't. They deleted a tweet that should have never been thumbed out in the first place. A total amateur hour move, and it smacked of a company trying to find its way back onto the big stage and puking all over itself when they finally got there. That is not how you handle that. Own it. If you're going to do it, own it. If you're going to do it, leave it up there. 1-800-636-8686. Or better yet, you know what? Just tweet out to a national park instead. I mean, there was nothing funny about seeing that guy on the floor. But I can't lie to you. I had to work pretty hard not to laugh at Booz's tweet. Dear Rome, we will find the 6-year-old responsible who works 80 hours a week in one of our unventilated, dimly lit factories and punish him accordingly. Signed, Nike. Yeah, obviously they're feverishly trying to figure out exactly what went wrong. I mean, like, again, how the hell does that happen? I know how that happens, but how the hell does that happen to that guy and that company on that stage? That is a bad, bad look all the way around. All right, in addition to that, I do want to get into, again, the fact that the one guy who was not getting paid when there was all that money coming in could have suffered a really significant injury right on the eve of getting paid really significant money for wearing a shoe that got blown out, made by a company that would soon be paying him 7 figures or more. But he happened to get hurt wearing that shoe and wearing it for free. That story's coming up too. Also, Manny Machado's off the board, so where does that leave Bryce Harper? And how much money is he going to get? And who is going to give it to him? I've got that coming up too. And yes, Le'Veon Bell apparently did gain some weight. And incredibly enough, you clones are into that. No way, talking about celebrity weight gain. Also, Ricky Williams came on episode 70 of the Jim Rome podcast yesterday. Great conversation. I had not spoken to him in a long time. It was great to run him down. I want to reset that for you a little bit later on, too. All of that, plus Tennessee Titans linebacker Jayon Brown in studio, top of hour number two. Kyle Allen, Panthers quarterback in studio in the third hour. When we come back, tough night for Nevada. They took the L, but San Diego State always plays them tough. Eric Musselman, the head coach of the Wolfpack, joins me next segment.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are pounding right through Thursday. It's good, good day. Really good day. Let's talk some college basketball. We are joined right now by the head basketball coach at the University of Nevada. Fourth season with the Wolfpack. Led Nevada to the Sweet 16 last season. Won 4 Coach of the Year awards last season, including Mountain West Coach of the Year from the coaches and the media. Led Nevada to back-to-back Mountain West regular season titles. Nevada is number 6 in both polls, and they're back at it Saturday right here on CBS Sports Network. They're hosting Fresno State. Eric Musselman is my guest. Musk, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on.
Always good to have you, Eric. You dropped a tough one last night against San Diego State in their place. Eric, you know the old adage, right? Either you win or you learn. So, what are you hoping you guys learned from last night or will learn?
Well, we have 2 losses on the year, Jim, and both of them came in really tough environments with great opposing crowds. And I think the one thing that we've learned this year is that every time we play somebody, we're their Super Bowl, both from an attendance standpoint and then from an elevation of play. Teams elevate their game when they play against a ranked team, when the crowd storms the floor. We experienced it a little bit last year because we were in the top 25 most of the year, but it's a lot different when you're in the top 10 as compared to in the top 25 near the end of the rankings, and we've had to deal with that all year. And we didn't elevate our game last night. We didn't play above and beyond. We actually played well below our bar, and that's why we lost. And we lost at New Mexico because of the same reason. And, you know, hopefully our guys understand that, you know, it's a team game. We need all 5 guys to be a part of it offensively. You know, in our two losses, we've gone solo too much offensively. And so you hope that your team learns from that. From an effort standpoint, we defended. We didn't rebound like we were supposed to. So I think all those things, we just got to get on this plane today back to Reno and get back on the practice floor when we land to try to improve.
Eric Musselman joining us. Now, you mentioned the Super Bowl and you mentioned a bar. You recently tweeted a quote from Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn. You said, quote, "You coach with a candy bar in one hand and a crowbar in the other because players are different. Some days you need a crowbar. Some days you need a candy bar. You have to be close enough to your guys to know when to use those tools," end quote. It's an amazing quote, actually. So when you're coming off a loss like that, Eric, and you're getting ready for Fresno State, do you go with the candy bar or the crowbar?
You know me well enough, Jim. We've known each other a long time. It's not a candy bar today, I can tell you that.
No doubt. No doubt. So what's a crowbar day like, Mus?
Well, you know, I mean, I think from a coaching standpoint, you got to be smart. So we played last night. We did have some guys, as always with our teams, play heavy minutes. And you know, what do you do today? Do you do review of the San Diego State game and use it as cleanup, or do you move right on to Fresno? And we've done a really good job as a team of bouncing back and not letting one loss manifest itself where it turns into two or three. And Fresno State's a great team. They're really, really talented. They have excellent shooters. So we're going to address very quickly some of the holes that we had last night. But then we've got to figure out how to play Fresno State and how to beat them and come up with the game plan, because the game Saturday or Thursday with a travel day today. So really the only day that we're going to have a true prep day is on Friday, and that's the day before the game, which historically any team, regardless of the sport, the day before the game, you can only do so much from an energy standpoint and how long you're on the floor. So it's a short turnaround. We're not a program that chartered home last night where the guys are waking up and going to class today and then they're in their normal routine with a flight that's midday, getting back early afternoon. It discombobulates how you can do your preparation. And that's one of the challenges of a mid-major as well.
We're talking to Eric Musselman. You know, Eric, we talked about the two losses. Instead of focusing all of our time on that, what about the 24 wins? I mean, you are coming into the season with an unprecedented amount of hype, and you've backed it up. You're 24-2. You're ranked in the top 10. So the flip side, what do you make of the way you guys have dealt with the hype over the course of the season and this notion that, as you point out, you're going out and taking the floor with a giant bullseye on your back every single night now?
I mean, they've handled it great with the exception of our two losses. You know, I think that it's hard. What people don't understand is, you know, this is new territory for our program, really, to be a top 10 team all year up to this point and have a bullseye on you. And if you look at the attendance figures when we play on the road, they're drastically different when the Wolfpack come to town. And so it's also a growth thing. And I think, you know, to think that we're 24-2 and have lost two games on the road. We haven't lost a home game yet. The two places that we lost, if you look historically over the last 10 years, Albuquerque for New Mexico and San Diego State are two of the better home venues in all of college basketball. So we got to just figure out a way to win our next game. We have two home games coming up, and then we head back out on the road for two and then follow it up with a rematch against San Diego State the last game on senior night.
Nevada head coach Eric Musselman's my guest. Now, Eric, earlier this season, you won your 100th career game at Nevada, and there's a lot of hype around that. And the fact that you would never won a college game as a head coach before you took that job. That said, the truth is, you had won nearly 500 games at every other level. So what do all those numbers and milestones mean to you?
Nothing. I'm just trying to figure out how to win our next game because, you know, what people don't understand is, you know, with any coach, you're only as good as your talent on your team, and every year is different, brings its own challenges. And you know, as Chuck Daly used to say, and I'm, you know, coming off a loss, it's how do you land the plane safely? How do you get your team towards the end of March where they're right mentally, they're right physically? It's so interesting, Jim, to think that last year we got hammered in the conference tournament. And we were able to regroup and come within a basket of an Elite Eight. And that's what we have to do. I mean, it's all about persevering through ups and downs. And you look at some of the great programs in college basketball. You know, Tennessee got hammered the other night against Kentucky, and Duke loses at home last night to UNC. And so it happens because you're dealing with student athletes. You're not dealing with an NBA team where guys are older, mature. Guys have a lot of things going on, whether it's schoolwork or personal things. And I think that's what makes college basketball so cool and so neat, is anybody can beat anybody on any given night. And the challenge is keeping your players with the right mindset, even after a loss.
I posed the question, how could something like what happened to Zion happen? Like, I understand how it happens, but how could that happen? Have you ever had a player have a shoe explode on them on any level that you've ever coached like that last night?
I've never seen it. And then, you know, I mean, who knows, you know, how severe or not severe the injury is, but certainly we were in the locker room actually watching in the coach's locker room that game live when it happened. And it looked like it could have been a serious injury because of, you know, how the shoe went out. And so, you know, certainly concern, and, you know, you're like, I've never seen anything like that at any level.
Eric Musselman's my guest. Eric, the thing is, you're doing this. What you're doing at a place where, I mean, I'm sure guys have a greater familiarity right now, but when they were first coming in, some of you guys didn't even actually know where the place was. Caleb Martin said that he thought it was in Las Vegas. His twin brother Cody agreed, telling ESPN, quote, "I was the typical East Coast guy who thought that Reno was Vegas. I thought it was going to be sunny and hot all the time. And then we got here, and I was like, y'all aren't in Vegas? I had no idea where I was going to." End of quote. It's kind of funny now, but how do you go about handling that?
Well, it was certainly a challenge our first 3 years recruiting. And it's interesting, you know, because we just got two transfers at the mid-year, one from Pitt and one from Duquesne, and they didn't even take a visit on campus. When they decided that they wanted to transfer, they started watching our games. They liked our style of play. And actually committed the first time they stepped on campus was when they were enrolling for a second semester. You know, right now, for whatever reason, Jim, we've become kind of a national brand where people understand who we are. They understand our style of play. We have an identity with how we want to play. But certainly, you know, the first couple years was a big-time challenge. And Cody and Caleb were right when they actually asked me, you know, where's the desert? And they thought that they were in Vegas. And even the people that come from outside the surrounding areas, they'll get off the plane and say, "Hey, how far a drive is it to Vegas?" And they're astonished when you tell them that we're actually 2 hours from Sacramento and 3.5 hours from the Bay Area. And, oh, by the way, Vegas is 6.5 hours the opposite direction. So it's been a challenge. But, again, because of our crowd and style of play and the exciting way that our guys finish games and the flair that they've played in the NCAA tournament, it's really, really helped us nationally from a recruiting standpoint.
It's amazing. Eric Musselman joining us. I mean, I was going to say that you put the University of Nevada on the map. Maybe not, Eric, but it feels that way. And I was going to ask you how to explain that, but I think that you just did a really good job of explaining that. You know, I've talked to you about your coaching style, but the fact is, I think you've got an ability to connect with players in ways that other coaches do not. How do you do it? Is it something you learned, or maybe is that something you inherited from your dad? Where does it come from?
I think the big thing is like constantly learning. You know, I feel really fortunate to have worked with people like my dad or Chuck Daly or Mike Fratello or Doc Rivers, and each of them brought something different to the table that they did outstanding. Like Doc Rivers' pregame talks and the way he motivated guys was incredible, and Fratello's X and O's, and Chuck Daly, the way that he could manipulate a roster and get everybody to buy in. And so you take bits and pieces from all these greats, and those guys are incredibly great, gifted coaches. And then I think you got to constantly learn. And one of the guys that I've been texting with all morning is Phil Nevin, who's former Padre player and currently with the New York Yankees. And last night in our locker room, and he was actually in our locker room for over 45 minutes, was Mark Coetzee, who's actually with the Oakland A's right now and played for 7 or 8 MLB teams. And we were just talking, Mark and I, about connecting with players and what he does in his role with the A's to try to get players to buy in. And then we talked about the analytics and how the A's use that and how players buy into the analytic aspect from an MLB standpoint. So I think it's important that as a coach or a leader that you're constantly reaching out to people, not only in your own field, but other fields. This season started, and one of the projects we did was get a hold of Michael Lombardi, who's a former NFL executive, and ask him, you know, like, how do the Patriots handle this bullseye on their back every year? And so we just constantly try to learn as much as we possibly can from other people.
Amazing. Eric Musselman joining us. And, of course, Eric, you and I had a good mutual friend in Kevin Towers, and I know you used to like to talk sports with him quite a bit too. You know, you and I, you know this deal, Eric. You and I have talked about this before. With the success, the overwhelming success you've had at Nevada, your name is going to come up for some really prestigious jobs. I know how happy you are where you are, and I know how happy you are having the success where you are. But as your name comes up in connection with these other things, how do you handle it?
I mean, you just got to worry about winning your next game. And you know, the one thing, Jim, I think when you've been fired, and obviously I've been fired from the Kings and fired from the Golden State Warriors, and when you get fired, you become humble and you understand, like, how hard it is to get a head job at any level. And so you got to really work at the job that you have. You got to do everything you possibly can to get your team ready. You can't let anything interfere with what you're doing. I mean, you got recruiting going on every weekend, and you've got to stay laser focused at the task at hand, and you got to want more success, and that's what we want right now. We feel like we have a special team. We have a veteran laden team, and just as a player, we have players that have pro aspirations and guys that want to play in the NBA and guys who are going to be on draft boards. We need them to focus on University of Nevada and how we could have a great finish to this season. And it's the same thing with coaches and administrators. It's all about how do we get better today.
Nevada Wolfpack head coach Eric Musselman, my guest for another moment or so. Eric, I've got to ask you about your daughter Mariah. She stole the show in last year's tournament run. She is now playing ball. What's it like to watch her play?
It's a lot less stressful watching my daughter play than my two sons. My two sons would work on their game. They would do ball handling drills. I would go out and shoot with them. Mariah only wants to be an actress or a TV personality, so it's extremely laid back going to a basketball game. She's much more excited about March Madness and if the TV cameras are going to pan to her during the course of one of our games. She actually asked me the other day, Jim, when we were having breakfast, and she said, "Dad, how far do you think we can advance? Because every time we advance, I get more TV time." So
wow.
She's not really worried about her jump shot. She's more worried about FaceTime on national TV.
She's concerned about the other analytics and the other metrics, like how many clicks, how many views, how many likes. I mean, she's all about it. But I want to say, though, watching the footage, man, she gets down in that defensive stance. She's boxing out. There's a lot to like in the fundamentals, right?
There's no doubt. She's got a little bit of the muscleman intensity on defense. And going to the backboards, but she has zero offensive game right now, JR.
That's great. Hey, Mus, I got about 60 seconds. I want to ask you really quickly, because you and Flip Saunders were so tight, because you have ties to Minnesota, what do you think about the job Ryan Saunders is doing right now?
I mean, I think Ryan's in such a tough situation because, number one, he's following an incredibly great X and O coach in Tom Thibodeau. Tom's a great disciplinarian. Obviously, Ryan has a completely different personality. Flip had a laid-back, special relationship-type guy with coaches, and he got him to play hard based on relationships, which is also what Ryan does, which is completely different than Coach Thibodeau. And having been a part of an NBA staff that took over mid-year when I went with Coach Fratello when Hubie Brown had resigned, it's really hard to jump in mid-year and put your stamp on the team based on offensive philosophy defensively. But I do think that there's a lot of people that believe that Ryan could be the equivalent of what Sean McVay's done because of his personality, his youthfulness, his energy, and love for the game.
Eric Musselman, right on mark. Fresno State is at Nevada Saturday here on the CBS Sports Network. Mus, so good to have you back on. Really appreciate the time. Thanks, as always. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks so much, JR. It's always great coming on with you. Really
you too, Musk. Great job, Musk. Really well done. When we come back, Jayon Brown, Tennessee Titans linebacker, joins me right here in studio. Do not go anywhere. Hour number two, straight ahead.